Needhammer.
Here.
Page.
Here.
Solomon.
I was going to say present from my home in City, but I guess I don't need to do that anymore. Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. We'll get on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be sent to the Government Commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item in a new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have four items. A, approve the April 27th City Commission regular meeting draft minutes as presented. B, approval of the April 29th joint City Commission and Main Street Board work session draft minutes as presented. C, approve the recommendation from the Director of Public Works, Tim Klaus, to pass the resolution in support of the May 16th through May 22nd, 2021 National Public Works Week. And D, approve the Main Street recommendation to appoint Bob Pearl to fill a vacancy expiring January 18th, 2024 on the Boynton City Main Street Board. Are there any comments from the public, or staff, or commissioners?
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Now all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on to citizen comments on non-agenda items. Okay. Moving on to correspondence. We have the State of Michigan before the Michigan Public Service Commission notice of hearing for the electric customers of Consumer Energy Company case number U-2526. And we have the State of Michigan before the Michigan Public Service Commission notice of hearing for the electric customers of Consumer Energy Company case number U-2849. Any comments on those? Okay, let's move on to City Manager's Report, Mike.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year. This is the first City Commission meeting since our fiscal year began on May 1st, and our first regular in-person City Commission meeting since March 17th, 2020. So welcome back as well. Our new janitorial service provider for this building and our other city facilities, the Happy Wander, began work for the city on May 1st. The state has, MDNR has acknowledged the middle of our recent grant applications for the open space. We will not find out whether we are successful in obtaining the grants until later this year. Last Monday, Duraswim Daifuku held their groundbreaking ceremony for their new $21 million 210,000 square foot plant, about the half of the property we purchased in 2018. They have begun building demolitions on the site, and they hope to be moved in and open next June. There's some materials that were from the groundbreaking and a copy of the plans on that table if anybody would like to take a look at them later. Last Thursday, the city received approved Charlevoix County Parks Village appropriation contracts for the waterworks park enhancements in the amount of $9,497.50, the Boyne Valley Trailway extension in the amount of $10,000, and the Boyne Valley Trailway benches in the amount of $7,296.84. The contracts have been executed and returned to the county as approved by the City Commission on February 23rd. Also last week, our DPW crews installed the shopper's dock and the fishing meter. The main boat launch is also back in place for the season. Our contractor performing the water valve turning operations is back in town, and they hope to complete their work yet this week. The new storm sewers on Franklin Park and Morgan Street are 90% completed. Restoration of the sidewalks, drives, and boulevards is next. And then we move on to the Park Street Bridge for the deck waterproofing, which will take place on or about June 7th, with the paving of all three of those major construction areas scheduled to be completed later that week. You may have noticed on your way in here today that the pavers were in, patching the water main repair shop, or repair place on North Street, right over there next to the dentist's office. So that's moved out now. DPW crews started to work on the forest sidewalk system over at the marina. That was 50% funded by grant funds from the MDNR. That was a project left over from last year. The rough plumbing and all the new concrete floor work is complete at the Rivermouth restrooms, and work continues. Building material supply delay for the old City Park gazebo project has occurred, and will not likely be able to have the project completed until later this summer now. Tim is currently reviewing several seasonal position applications for the DPW for potential employees to start in May. The Main Street Board Executive Committee has begun to evaluate applications for its new executive director. Applications will continue to be accepted until the position is filled. On the last day or so, the U.S. Department of Treasury has just released details for the use of the funds from the American Rescue Plan. There's lots of webinars coming out seeking to clarify options for the use of those funds. We'll be studying those over the next couple of weeks and report back our initial findings for future discussion. As you can see from looking out the windows, things are gearing up for our first large special event of the year, which starts this Thursday, the National Mushroom Festival. And the weather looking unseasonably nice for a mushroom festival weekend. Our spring curbside leaf collection continues through this Friday, May 14th. Our marina, City Marina formally opens for the season this coming Saturday, the 15th. And next week we expect to begin our annual water system fire hydrant flushing program. Our spring residential rubbish collection program will be held on Saturday, May 22nd. You're already seeing some people putting stuff out by the curb a little bit early. It is a one-day event again this year, one each in the spring and then in the fall. I put at your place a pre-release copy of the Chamber of Commerce's new business directory for each commissioner tonight. The Chamber plans to fully release these in time for this coming weekend's Mushroom Festival. And we're currently working on our July newsletter, and if you have any suggestions on possible articles, please let me know. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to kind of address them.
Any questions, commissioners?
Good.
Okay. In our packet, we have reports of auction boards and tech committees. To keep us informed, we have the Main Street minutes from April 8th. We have the Parks and Rec Commission draft minutes from April 8th. We have the Planning Commission draft minutes from April 19th. The Airport Advisory Board draft minutes, April 22nd, and the ZBA draft minutes of April 26th. Are there any questions on those, commissioners? Okay, we have no old business. Moving on to new business, item 9A, hiring of a social media independent contractor. Mike?
Yeah, just a second. I'm off on the screen for you. Commission's review and consideration is a proposal for the hiring of Jim Bauman as the city's social media contractor. The hiring of this independent contractor would further the city's goal of better engaging with our citizens and other parties interested in Boise City. Mr. Bauman would help us do that through various forms of electronic media. This has become even more important with the demise of our own local newspaper in the last year and the reduction of coverage in other news outlets. Mr. Bowman is a well-known and respected resident of our community. With a strong journalistic background, his familiarity with the community as former Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, and the quality of the social media presence he has provided them and other entities like the Harbor Springs Chamber of Commerce, I think he's just the person that we are looking for. Securing assistance in this matter was discussed most recently during the budget review session. The money for this project is included in the budget for the fiscal year, as I mentioned earlier, which began on May 1st. As noted in Mr. Bowman's proposal, this new position will be more fully developed in the coming year. Once this proposal is approved, he will be meeting with city department heads and other staff members to better develop a flow of information and possible topics for inclusion as we go forward. As a new program, we would check in with the city commission on a quarterly basis, or at least the first year, we can have some feedback and see if it's meeting the direction that the city commission envisioned. Mr. Bowman's proposal to be an independent contractor has been reviewed by our city's labor attorney. As a professional service, this matter does not have to go up for bid. It's my recommendation that the city commission approve the hiring of Jim Bowman as the city's social media independent contractor at the hourly rate of $30 per hour. Now, Mr. Bowman is here in case you have any questions for him, and his proposal was included in your agenda packet.
Thank you, Mike. Joe, we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I, as Mike said, I've got a background in journalism and with the Chamber of Commerce, and I've done lots of social media and newsletters and website development, and I've got a good nose for news. I've taken notes already. Lots of good things are happening in the city, and, you know, I think that's my goal, is to get that good news out there into the community. And there's so much going on, and it's not going to be that hard. There's so much good things, so many good things happening in the city and the community. It's important to get it out there to the public. So I'm certainly willing to, you know, very, very open to any suggestions anyone has. I've been looking at some other cities. Facebook pages, Traverse City, and some other communities, and have a few ideas, but obviously, as Mike said, I want to meet with him and department heads and get their thoughts and have them open channels to feed some news my way. So, anybody, I'm certainly open to answering any questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you still doing the weekly newsletter?
I am not doing the Chamber newsletter anymore. A year ago, when they laid off their own staff, they laid me off from that position too, just due to budget cuts. You know, the Chamber makes a good portion of their revenue by having events, and they basically couldn't have any for the past year. And so it's been a rough budget year for the Chamber, so I am not doing that, but as it happens, as Mike mentioned, I am doing the Harbor Springs Chamber newsletter. I had worked for them a couple of years ago as an interim director when they were between executive directors, just for 6 months. And so I know that community, and I've been doing their newsletter for the last year, really a couple months before I lost the Boyne City Chamber job. I started doing that. So that situation right now. But you know, that's 10 hours a week. It's not I don't want to work full time. You know, I retired from the Chamber 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. So, but you know, I enjoy doing that.
Welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff.
So Jim, the news review on their website, it has boil water notice issued for part of Boyne City, and it's still on their website. Would your job be to pay attention to that sort of stuff and correct that information that's dated and those types of things?
Certainly could, yeah. Absolutely.
Would you participate in the newsletter that occasionally comes out electronically?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, as Mike said, we're kind of just figuring it out as we go, but whatever the needs are, if they, you know, if it's something I can help with, I'm glad to help.
Thank you, Joe. Let's go to our audience. Any other comments from our audience? Okay. Let's go to board deliberation. Rob?
You want to start?
Well, I'm good with it.
Okay. Dean?
Yeah. Jim, I know you mentioned, you know, spreading good news about Boyd City. And so on. I think this position is something sort of like that, a little different than that. We don't want to just, our goal is not to just, it's not PR, it's not marketing, not as much as we're trying to inform and engage the residents. It's harder to get people to show up here, you know, as an example, or to learn what the city's up to or what the commission is up to, and to really promote the idea of getting involved. Whether it's in boards and commissions or volunteer activities or showing up here or getting sort of a clue that there's something on the agenda that might spur a greater discussion, as an example. So does that sound like something that's within the scope of what you're thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it would be most helpful, you know, to us to get that word out there. And Main Street and the Chamber do a nice job with their Facebook presence and the newsletter certainly in promoting Boyd City. I see this as a little different than that.
Yeah, it's news. You know,
it's news.
It's news and it's facts, which, you know, in this day and age, it's important to get that out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it really is. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is an ongoing need. You know, this is an experiment trying this out. And sort of wondering if the long term is this maybe an open question of whether this is something we sustain or whether we need to figure out ways in the long run to build this kind of function into our everyday work lives as city employees. But that's, I guess, a discussion for another day after we experiment with this. This is really important. I don't think it negates the need to, as we've talked about for several years now, to revamp and update the website. It's been a priority for the commission for at least several years. It's still high on the priority list to make that into something that is a little clearer, less cluttered, and that uses more contemporary web designs that can be viewed on a variety of devices. So I hope we still keep that as a high priority to get that work done this year, which we've budgeted for in the past. But this is great, Jim. Welcome. And looking forward to this as a way to be able to better connect with our residents.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I want to be back too, Jim. You were one of the first people I talked to when I ran 4 years ago, so good to get back.
At Lake Street Market.
Yeah.
So, Jim, what does social media mean? Or when we say social media, what does that refer to?
Well, you know, right now the city has a Facebook page, and I think it gets a lot of views up on. I don't have access to that, but I just it seems like it gets a lot of activity. And you know, there are it's really up to Mike and how we figure this out on an ongoing basis. As I said, I've got a journalism background, so I can help with the city newsletter a little bit here and there. You know, there have been in the past just very short city newsletters that the city has sent out electronically. I mean, I don't know if you call that social media. It's digital communication. And if that's something that the city manager wants me to do occasionally, I'm happy to do that, and I have the skills to do that. But, you know, there's also Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. It's all mainly pictures. You know, that's a lot of stuff can be sort of recycled from one to the other because some people prefer one over the other. Younger people, you know, older people like Facebook pretty much. And so it might be good to sort of spread some of that around. So we can feel our way along and figure it out as we go. But it's something that's free, you know, to put out there, and I think there's a lot of interest in it online these days, just from our citizens.
Great. That's all I have, Mayor.
Well, I'm excited. I've been an advocate of this for a long time, as we heard that's our goal. Set our goals, and I think we can do a better job. I think we do get the brunt of some negativism sometimes on social media, and it's not really a fair fight because we don't respond. I'm not saying we should, I'm just saying now we have our own avenue that is going to be updated and accurate and hopefully a source of information for our citizens. So I think it's fantastic, and welcome aboard. Okay. That being said, I entertain a motion.
I move to approve the hiring of Jim Bauman as the city's social media independent contractor at the hourly rate of $30 an hour.
Dean, did you want to add that we have a review? What did you say, Mike?
I'm assuming that's a quarterly.
Yeah. Yep. Not like that. Including a quarterly review of the first year.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thanks. Moving on to item 9B, Housing North Staffing and Contract Renewal. Mike?
Well, let's see if I can bring this one up any quicker than the last one.
There we go.
Okay, attachment of the City Commission's review and consideration is the proposed second-year contract between Housing North and the City of Boyne City. This one-year contract, along with similar ones between Housing North and the City of East Jordan, City of Charlevoix, and Charlevoix County, continue to provide the basic framework and necessary funding to allow for the continuation of Housing Ready Program Director Steve Schnell to help address the housing shortage directly here in Charlevoix County. It is an intent of all these parties involved that this is a minimum of a three-year effort and that success and progress will seek us all to extend it even further into the future. While it is the intent and the desire of all the parties involved that this be a success, Article 6, termination, does give each party a 30-day opt-out option. The Housing Ready Program Director was hired by Housing North, who remains ultimately responsible for that person. Steve has been working closely with and receiving direction from each of the sponsoring communities that I mentioned before. Ultimately, if there are any issues that cannot be worked out between the community and the program director, Housing North will be available to resolve the matter. That has not been an issue through the first year. The city's share of the cost for this joint venture remains at $9,250 for the second year. That's the same as it was during the first year, as spelled out in Article 5 of the agreement. These funds have been included in the budget for this fiscal year. Should any significant increase occur during the term of the agreement, it will be brought before the City Commission for your review and consideration, as it would be brought to the other entities as well, too. This is still a fairly new position involving multiple parties, and while we're off to a great start with the hiring of Steve Schnell as the program director, This continues to be a learning process for all involved. I'm sure there will continue to be some anticipated issues, like dealing with COVID was shortly after Steve began last year. That arrived, but I'm confident we'll be able to work through these and make real progress in addressing Boyne City and the housing area, the area's housing needs. So it's my recommendation that the City Commission approve contract 2021-BCHR between the City of Boyne City and Housing North as presented for the provision of staff services for 1 year at a cost not to exceed $9,250, and authorize the city manager and the city clerk treasurer to take the steps necessary to execute the contract. So the contract is included in your agenda packet as well, too, and we do have Steve Schnell with us this evening.
Thank you, Mike. Steve, welcome. I'd like to give you the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I don't really have a presentation for you this evening, but just to say, you know, in the first year, yeah, I think the day I started was the day of the executive director's lockdown. So it has been an interesting first year, but I think, I believe it's been surprisingly successful given the COVID restrictions. We've had every opportunity to meet that I've wanted. I've been able to talk to people. Everybody's been very interested in helping out and really seems to understand the need and the extreme crisis that we're under with the housing shortage and the expensive housing that we have here. So I've been really feeling pretty lucky to have all of the stakeholders involved that I have been. That's why I was so excited to take the position, and it's proven out to be that everybody I've worked with has been really terrific, has been really willing to share a lot of information to help me do my job best I can. The other communities, one thing that I kind of wondered, and I'm sure you wondered too when you first looked at this contract, is how will the work be divvied up amongst the different communities? And I think, you know, we haven't necessarily addressed that at the individual committee meetings because it hasn't really been a concern. You know, whenever I'm working on a project, I'm taking what I'm learning and I'm being able to share that with all the other communities. So if, like, for instance, right now I'm spending a lot of time on a master plan in the city of Charlevoix, I'm able to take a lot of that same knowledge base, the same interactions, the same zoning language, master plan language, and I'm able to share that with other communities when the time is appropriate. So we're working on a project here with the Land Bank Authority, trying to build up an opportunity to create some properties here that would be single family homes. We're going to be able to share that process if we're successful with the other communities too. So I think it's been a real balanced effort, and again, I've just been really appreciative of all the partners that we've had that have been really cooperative. And although our challenge is getting greater every year, I thought we at first we would have some opportunities under COVID, some unfortunate opportunities where short-term rentals were decreasing, but now they're increasing again. So that's just one example. But there's a lot of challenges that we have right now with lumber costs going up. So are we making headway? I was asked today at an East Jordan Rotary Club meeting. We're making progress. Are we making net gains? Because the challenges are so much greater, we're going to have to find that out, because we're doing so many projects right now that are taking longer than a year to really come to fruition. So I'm happy at any time to give you a full, I can talk for hours on these topics. So you let me know, you give me a slot of time, and I'll fit a presentation and update to you in that time slot whenever you feel appropriate. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to address them. But thank you for the opportunity.
Steve, will you still be working from home now, or do you have an office somewhere?
I still have an office. Yeah, I've been there four times in the last year. Northern Lakes Economic Alliance. Yeah, they had an extra office there. And as long as that's open, I think they'll leave it open for me when I need to go over there. The only time I've needed to use it is when my builder's been banging on the walls of my house, and I've had to go there for some quiet, decent quiet. But otherwise, it's been working really well in my home office right now. I go there for a television interview one time, and then because we needed a bigger room to keep socially distant, and the printer opportunities that they have. And then also, I really hope to be there a little bit more often when the other staff is there, because the opportunity to interact with Northern Lakes staff, we do that by phone and Zoom conference now, but those opportunities have been really great because that gives us a connection to the employers who are having housing issues, and those kind of informal conversations I hope will to my job.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Let's open up to our audience. Any questions for Steve? All right, let's go to board deliberation. Dean?
Yeah, well, looking forward to another year of working with you. Right in the Planning Commission in the minutes, your efforts working with them on residential modifications to a residential PUD idea of kind of intervening. And I think, as you know, we put money in the budget this year to gather more data to better quantify short-term rentals. And we look forward to having that additional data and then working with you to look, and our residents to look at the issue more closely and possible approaches. So yeah, I'm looking forward to another exciting year. I think that it's sort of appropriate, though, isn't it, for somebody involved so much in housing to be working out of their home.
Yeah. There's
some elegance in that. It's very good.
So?
Yeah, I have nothing to add, except my street kids are becoming a lot more empty than they used to be. You know, the ones that are in the banks, that they put in the banks, what is it?
The land banks?
Yeah.
What is that about?
It's like, well...
The one across the street from where you live?
Across the street, down the street, just a few places. I'm just curious to know how it moves through that system now.
How it reaches the land bank, you mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways it can reach the land bank. My understanding is these have been foreclosed upon for the most part, the ones that they own currently. There's only a few properties that are really developable that the land bank has right now. But properties can be donated to a land bank, and then you can utilize the brownfield tax increment financing and some of the other brownfield tools to create more housing from that. So yeah, just the fact that a land bank owns the property, that allows you to trigger brownfield. It doesn't have to be contaminated. So there's a lot of opportunities there with a land bank. And I think we're really lucky to have a land bank that's really interested in looking at this kind of opportunity. There are some counties that don't even have land banks and some that are very inactive. So I think we're fortunate.
Okay. You?
So Sally, I don't mean to speak for you, but you're asking the status of that house across the street from where you live, which has been in the land bank for a period of, it's been there a few years.
Yeah.
It's on East Main.
Do they make decisions on these things? How long do they sit in the bank?
It can vary quite a bit, and if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's the one that we've been working on for about a year to look at an opportunity for the county land bank to do three homes on that lot. That one lot, I think the nickname was the Christmas House, the one on the south side.
Yeah,
there's three platted lots there. The proposal that we're taking to the county, this is another hour-long conversation, so I'll try to distill it down. But the proposal we're taking to the county is that the county establish a fund with excess tax delinquent funds, determine those to be, and then move them over to a housing project development fund, work for the workforce, and those would be sold through a community land trust model and developed using tax increment financing. So you would forego future tax revenue. That would allow you to pay back the construction costs. And you could build a three-bedroom, two-bath home and sell it through a community land trust model for about $170,000, even a brand new one. The discounted price would be paid through the tax increment financing. And you'd have a person or a family living in that home. And all they'd have to do is purchase the house. They don't purchase the land. The land is leased. And that also reduces the cost of that home. So, how long do they typically? It can vary quite a bit depending on what the land bank chooses to do with that property. And I think that's sitting there a little bit longer because they're very willing to let us work through this very, very innovative project proposal.
Yeah, it's just, I knew that it went to a bank and then there was anything after that.
Yeah.
The house is open, you can go in and there's furniture.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to take it.
Steve, do you have a good working relationship with Northern Homes?
Yes, we do. We talk quite often. Yeah, Jane and I share information because we're in the same field, and she's been around a lot longer, so I'm often calling her for advice and guidance, and we share news reports and data, and she's She allowed me to survey her community's land trust residents for more information as to how that model works. So yeah, we partnered quite a bit. She's very active in the community's housing area solutions team.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
I've got a question in regards to the status of the Lake Street apartments.
Yeah.
Anything happening? Is it still a go?
Well, they are still moving forward. They're still requesting some additional funds. There's a little bit of a gap to close, but that's not uncommon for housing projects these days. It's very difficult to make the numbers work in just about every housing situation right now. So with COVID, I think that presented a few more challenges, but last I talked to them, they still felt very positive about the program and the project. They had some successes in Grayling and Cadillac with their projects. The waiting lists are very long. I know because of the shift from office space and retail to residential, they had some interest in possibly talking at some point about adding and exchanging some of the, what would be meager zoning to exchange some of the commercial for residential potentially, but otherwise I think they're moving forward with it.
Thank you, Ron. I'm in full support, money well spent. Steve, I have a lot of knowledge, expertise, and professionalism in the position, and I appreciate it. I'm on a subcommittee. We have a meeting tomorrow, in fact, so. Back to Sally's question, I think what she really wants to know, where are you going to tear it down?
Yeah. Hopefully very soon.
Yeah. So, any further questions? If not, looking for a motion.
Well, I would move we approve the contract for 2021 BCHR. What's that stand for, Mike?
It's actually the note at the top of their contract.
Okay.
See it right up there, contract number? It's right on the screen.
Okay. Between the City of Boyne City and Housing North is presented for the provision of staff services for 1 year at a cost not to exceed $9,250 and authorize the city manager and the city clerk treasurer to execute any necessary documents.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, moving on to item C, the 2022 Ford F-550 crew cab. Chief?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This year we have budgeted to replace our 33-year-old 1988 F-350 equipment vehicle, which has served a good purpose for us for 34 years, but it's time to retire and upgrade. We've been doing a lot of our maintenance work with CSI and talking to them, and they've been doing some of these vehicles that we're looking at, which you have a picture of one of them there. And he said he could provide one of those for around $120,000, and I told him we couldn't do anything budget period. But he called me there like the middle of the week and said, if you're interested in getting the chassis this year with the shortage of the microchips in the chassis, that we need to get on it and get it ordered right away or they're going to be stopping the production of those and then we might not be able to get one for a year and a half. So CSI has been a local company in Greeling. They've been around for a long time. They do a lot of good reputable work and we feel this is bid. So what we're looking to see if the approval of the commission, therefore go the bid process and we can purchase a 2022 Ford F-550 crew cab from CSI Emergency out of Greeley for $120,000. Any questions from the game are here? We'll be happy to answer.
All right. Any questions right now? Any questions from the staff or the audience? Okay, let's go to board deliberations, Alex.
Just out of curiosity, the one is, runs fine, it just needs to be...
Yeah, there's a picture of it up there. It's still operational. It's starting to show its age, and it's in the older, it's a fuel injector motor. We still have a few little issues with it here and there, and it's just, this truck goes out on every run that we go on.
It looks pretty in pictures.
We've done some work to it in the past, but we feel we can sell it, probably get a decent price out of it yet, hopefully. But we're hoping that by going to the crew cab, that is possible, bringing more people to some of these fires, especially mutual aid, grass fires, and some of these other events that we go to, where we can eliminate a lot of POVs that go to the scene also. This gives us more flexibility, upgrading our stuff. Another thing nice about what we're looking at too, we want to put a poly body on the back where we can access everything from the outside, where we do not have to go inside to get stuff. When you're at a scene, it's so much easier when you go to the thing and just grab what you need out from the outside instead of having to jump in the back and so forth. The truck has served a good purpose for us, but I think it's time for it to go.
Thanks, you?
Well, the only question I have, I guess maybe it's directed to you, is just deviating from the bid process. We can do that without any repercussion.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, if the commission feels that this is the best interest for the community, yes, you can make that. And then it's brought it to me with regards to, okay, we're all hearing on a different basis with regards to what's going on with the auto industry and right. A lot of other industries with regards to chips and other components. You know, you see pictures of Ford with all their F-150 pickups, thousands of them parked along the sides of expressways waiting for the components. And if we can get on the track, that's going to save us potentially the year and a half that we're talking about. So we thought it was important to bring it to the commission. It is a bit of an unusual circumstance.
And you're pretty sure about the price, Dennis, because you had that price of $120 or so in the budget, didn't you?
Yes, it is. It's budgeted. Okay. I had that in my budget.
I guess the only question I have is that how much is a dollar amount apportioned to the townships that we service? Do we have, we still have that fund in place where there's everybody's paying part of the cost of replacing equipment?
We do a straight millage with the townships now.
But that includes the funds that we use for vehicle replacement. So yes, they will be, everybody will be paying their appropriate share out of that.
They used to before do pry equipment and stuff. Now we just do a straight funding, like Mike said. It's all used for equipment and everything that we purchase.
Get back to the question about using a bid process. Normally, using a bid process, would you have expected a lower price than what is being proposed now?
I think this is probably, personally, I think if the bid would have came out, we'd have probably went with this bidder anyways. I think they would probably give us the best price because they are Michigan, they're local, they are a smaller company. Once we start going out to the other companies, most of them are out of Michigan. And they're bigger companies, and I think that they probably would have been higher cost in a few things.
Yeah, I mean, we've been researching these for over a year, and most of what we're finding is similar to this, 5 years old, for that same exact price. So, and that's a used one that's 5 years old. So I feel pretty confident it's probably not going to get any better than this.
When he showed us this and we came up with, we were all shocked at the price, and then we asked him again, and he says, yeah, it's a plane, you know, nothing super, but we just wanted to hear material and people and do the job. But we felt that price was a very, very good price for what they're offering.
Yeah, if we had to wait another year and a half,
yes,
the price would be even higher.
Right. And that's the only reason we're jumping on it right now, being able to, like I said, we've been looking for another vehicle for over a year. Last year, we tried to find a good used one, like James said, we just, anything that was 5 years old was still $100,000, and they had a lot of miles and use on them. And so we they showed us this, we thought this is a good way to go. So increasing our budget this year, we move on to get this, and hopefully we can move forward and make it happen.
Sounds good. Mr. Mayor, can I just ask this one more?
Sure.
Again, it's not in the budget, there's a property replacement account, 976, $45,000 each year, I think. So that's where that money's coming from, is out of that replacement account?
I'm not sure if that one's coming out of that, or we got that in this capital outlay. That, usually we set that aside every year for replacement of new vehicles, yes.
I'm in full support. Entertain the motion.
Well, I would move the city commission approve the recommendation of Fire Chief Dennis Amesbury to approve or to eliminate the typical bid process and purchase of the 2022 Ford F550 crew cab from CSI Emergency Apparatus Railing for a cost not to exceed $120,000. And authorize the city manager to execute any necessary documents.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay, item D, Town of Angle contract. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. In 2019, we were required by the state of Michigan to upgrade our computer security to include threat monitoring and detection program. We partnered with Common Angle, a company out of Petoskey, for this IT support. Our current contract with Common Angle only covers monitoring and detecting threats. What that means is they watch it when they see that there's a threat or something like that. They notify us, and then we have to make a decision whether we want them to actively block the threat or take action against it. When that happens, that's when it starts to cost us money. The vast majority of the work that they perform is done through a remote process. We've had very little on-site work done. The on-site work was when we bought new computers and come in and physically move some things. That's the only time they've had to come into the building to do anything. We average about almost nine hours a month for remote work. And their hourly rate is $115 an hour. We are currently paying $598 a month for the monitoring and remote, the remote work is in addition to that fee. The gold level package we're seeking to enter into them, we will be paying $848 a month, and this will include all monitoring and detection along with any remote work performed. We're currently at the start of the second year of our two-year contract with Common Angle. And per their contract, we can upgrade services with the consent of both parties. And this would be a cost savings to our current agreement, and we have funds budgeted for in the current fiscal year budget.
Thank you. Governor? Any comments from our audience? Okay, let's go to board deliberation. You?
Kevin, is this Common Angle? You probably have told us before. Is it a state contractor? I mean, is this a recommendation from the state since they require you to do this or the department to do this, or is it a local company?
It's a local company out of Petoskey. When the state came and said we had to get this service, Chief Gaither was here, and we looked at Mark Horvizer, Common Angle, and a couple other companies. And Common Angle was, at the time, the best price and the easiest price we could get with them.
And you work well with them?
Yes. There's been some stuff they've done that they didn't charge us for because they couldn't figure it out. So they've done right by us by only charging for when they actually accomplish something, which is nice, but they just don't say, hey, we worked on it, you're still gonna pay us what we did. There's a couple things they couldn't do for us, and we didn't get a bill for it, which.
Do they work with other departments in the area as well?
Yes, they do. I know the Sheriff's Department uses them, and if you give me a minute, I can go it. They have a list of some client references from Grandview, Mount Hermon County, Big Bluffs, Emmett County Medical Care Facility, Charlotte County, and County Transit. And I asked them at one time for a list of municipalities they served, and I don't remember the total number of them on there, but quite a few.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Ron?
I'm good with this.
Okay, Dean?
I was wondering, if there are any comparable requirements of best management recommendations for the rest of our city IT infrastructure? Or how we handle this issue of threat, what do you call it, threat monitoring and detection, with everything else?
No, there are similar requirements. We use different, not quite as intense of services from Mark Corbeiser, our IT provider.
So how do we handle this issue?
I'd be glad to have them come and give a presentation if the commission would like at some point.
I'm just wondering if certainly addressing vulnerability in one department, whether there are best practices for addressing vulnerabilities in others, which, for instance, in our water sewer infrastructure or even in our city, rest of our city computers, if they're vulnerable, that could have implications.
Yeah, the water and sewer system is pretty well isolated. They're not tied into the internet system. They actually have parallel computer systems up at the wastewater treatment plant. So Mark, for budgeting or emailing and things like that, they have one computer, which is completely separate and on a totally different network, which is not accessible to the public for our water and sewer system. So some of those things where you hear about them getting hijacked, I won't say it's impossible, but it'd be very, very, very unlikely because that's completely disconnected from the internet.
Okay.
Sally?
I'm good with it.
Okay. I'm in support. Need a motion.
I move to authorize the city manager to sign a contract with Common Eagle for global IT support, but their cost not to exceed $10,176 per year.
One second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item E.
And I can be flexible on track. I'm requesting is to enter a year-by-year contract with Lexapol, which is a policy and risk management company, for the purpose of management, training, and updates of the police department policies and procedures. The Lexapol Risk Management Company provides several different services to government bodies and first responder departments. One of these services they provide is policy and procedure management to law enforcement. So the policies and procedures are the backbone of how the department operates. It's important that we keep these updated. The policies guide what can be done and what cannot be done, as well as how each should be approached. We've been working over the past several years to keep and update our age policies and procedures for the police department. This task is currently done by borrowing policies from other agencies, but we have no reliable way of monitoring the need for changes in our current policies. By taking on Lexapol as a partner in this endeavor, they'll give us access to over 170 updated policies that have been specifically authored for use in Michigan by attorneys. Those policies are monitored for change and monitored for changes in best practice and case law. When a change is needed, Lexapol will notify us of the need and updates and changes. The program also has daily training bulletins on our policies. The daily training will greatly promote understanding of policy and will track that officers have been notified of a policy, that they have trained on that policy, and more importantly, that they understand the policy. We've always prided ourselves on being ahead of the curve in training and being proactive and staying current with the ever-changing climate surrounding law enforcement. This program will keep us above that curve and reduce liability. We've also budgeted for these funds in the current fiscal year.
Any other comments from our audience?
to sign our city manager to enter an agreement with Lestpol for policy management supplemental manuals and procedures for an amount not to exceed $5,453 to cover fiscal year 2021 to 2022.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Yes. So Kevin, does that mean, will this just be for a year, or is this a continual sort of thing?
The price will be for 1 year, and we'll be able to choose whether we want to re-up it next year.
Because okay. You'll get to some point, right, where you feel comfortable with the policy being updated, or do they change all the time that it's necessary to...
A year and a half ago, I would have told you, yeah, we'd probably do it for a year or so, and we'd be good.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I wouldn't hazard a guess how many different types of policies are going to change. I know we've changed our use of force policy, I think, twice in the last year to get certain things in there that are required. The nice thing about that is when they have something that needs to change, you get an email and it shows you, I said to their thing on it, shows you side-by-side comparisons of what your current policy is, and in red it shows you all the changes that you should make. I think for the price of what it is, it's something we should probably look at keeping around. Things are changing a lot right now.
Yeah.
It's just wise to have something to help keep up on that.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Niedhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Motion carried.
And we're going to add up, please serve the replacement. Kevin.
And again. Our current server that we're using in the police department was purchased in 2012, and it's been explained to me that it's more than past its service life. Common Angle is highly recommended that we replace it at this time. And we have a quote from them for the replacement of it and the installation, $10,641. I believe keeping purchase with the company that will be installing it and servicing it and knows what our current needs are is the best course of action. We budgeted for this, and I'm hoping that if I can sign the previous agreement before we purchase the server, if you allow it, that maybe I'd get that cost down by having them do something to work remote. I'm not sure yet on that or not, but that's the angle I'm going to approach on it.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Dean, you want to start?
I'm good.
Okay. Doug?
Good.
You?
Yeah, I'm good, but this is off topic a little bit. Mike, I really like it when the screen's like that. That's very effective and easy to read. And,
yep.
A good tool. Thank you for that. That's all. Thanks.
Okay,
I'm good.
I'm good too. Good motion.
Move to authorize the city manager to sign a purchase order for the purchase and installation of a new server for the police department at a cost of $10,641 from Common Angle.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Niedhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, moving on to item G, approval of purchase of vehicles and equipment materials through the state of Michigan, Michigan DO program in Sarsfield. Tim?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. First, if I could just thank you for approving that earlier proclamation on National Public Works Week. That's really important to us. The staff at Public Works do a tremendous job day in and day out throughout the year, throughout pandemics and without pandemics. And you know, we're not an operation that tends to get a lot of praise from the public. So typically when people are calling us, they're calling us because they're angry about something, or they're trying to just inquire about something. That's the nature of the business. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I certainly understand that. I think sometimes the guys might think I'm a little bit crazy with some of my ideas. Some of the projects and the amount of projects that we do, but I certainly do appreciate that very much. So it's a new fiscal year, and before we go ahead and move forward with formal bid documents up for the major purchases that are included in the budget. I wanted to kind of run this concept past the commission because it is a lot of work. I wrote up before the meeting just roughly how many days it takes to actually put together bid specifications, get it bid, get it back, review it, get it to the commission and get approval. And if you're really fast-tracking, it's about 42 days. Probably more in the order of 60-plus days. We have four major items of equipment that we need to purchase this year. And, you know, you start adding this up, you look at the time of year, you look at the effort that goes into the bidding process, and it takes a lot of time and energy. And the fact is, we just don't get a lot of bids. That's the reality of it. Today, there's two main, if you call them bidding cooperatives within the state of Michigan that municipalities use. That is the MyDeal program that's been around a long time. The city's participated in that for a long time. And a newer one called Sourcewell. Sourcewell pulls together 50,000 different organizations across the U.S. to kind of leverage buying power and negotiate better purchasing contracts for these bigger items. When we go out and talk to somebody like Lappin's and Gaylord for lawnmower equipment or Ginnup Sales, you know, one of the first questions that they ask, and already remember, you know, can we give you the MyDeal pricing? Can we do Sourcewell pricing? If we don't already ask that kind of coming in. So what I'm asking is that you give us the authorization to go ahead and use those programs, which will help us expedite the purchases of some of these major equipment items over the coming, you know, next 2 or 3 months. Because the reality is, even if we put these bid documents together, what Zaremba's equipment and what Truck and Trailer Specialties and Ginnup and all the normal vendors that we use are going to give us is the MyDeal pricing. So we're going through a tremendous exercise in order for them to just pull the number out of the MyDeal contract and say, the price for your Kubota ZD1211 mower is going to be this, because MyDeal is going to give you the best price that I can offer you as a potential vendor. I put together an additional page that Jessica emailed out with the packet that kind of showed just a little bit of purchasing history over the last 5 or 6 years that showed a lot of the major equipment that we've bought. And, you know, I'm not going to step through every one of these, but you can see whether it's a snowblower, a Kubota tractor, plow truck equipment upfitting, pickup trucks, the Gator, the trackless tractor. The majority of these have been MyDeal pricing that the city has received. Sourcewell has been another case last year with the plow truck. The quote from Zaremba in Gaylord was through Sourcewell because it actually provided a little bit better discount than the MyDeal did. They can offer both by way of example. And then on that far right-hand column, you can see, out of all these equipment, we put bid specifications together for all of these. There was only 3 cases where we actually got a competitive bid from somebody else for it. And in most cases, the competitive bid was also MyDeal or Sourcewell. The exception would be local Ford trucks, where we have sourced the price through MyDeal and then met with Mather's Ford typically for smaller light-duty trucks, and Mather's has agreed to match those prices for the most part. So I guess what I'm saying is we'd like your approval before we go through all the effort to put together competitive bids on our own, knowing that anything that's priced through Sourcewell or priced through MyDeal has been competitively bid. And most communities throughout the state of Michigan use MyDeal and or Sourcewell to make its purchases. I double-checked a few city council, city commission reports today. City of Charlevoix, they seem to use both MyDeal and Sourcewell for their purchasing. City of Petoskey looks like they use mostly the MyDeal program directly. It's already been competitively bid, so it meets all those requirements. And the price savings are substantial on these bigger pieces of equipment. My deal generally reports that the savings are about 25% to municipalities. Varies a little bit either side of that, but on average, that's about what it is. I pulled a recent one that we got from AIS Equipment in Traverse City. And I quoted one piece of equipment which has a normal retail price of $114,000 at $85,000. That's a $29,000 savings, which is exactly 25%. So my request is that we go ahead and talk to the normal vendors that we talk to. And in many cases, there'll be probably a couple that we'll try to get pricing on. But we use the Sourcewell and MyDeal programs for these purchases. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tim. Any questions from the audience? Okay, let's go over to board deliberation. Sally?
I don't know what to say, but you could do it.
Sure. You?
So, Tim, why do we do it the way we're doing it now?
I'll say that, I've been doing this since the mid-1980s, and in the public front anyways, and that's always the way government has done it. You create a detailed specification, you get it out. Sometimes there's policies and procedures or charters that specifically say you must competitively bid it. Many decades ago, it used to be a state requirement, is my understanding. So it's really kind of, I think, part culture and part proving to the public that, you're really soliciting the best price, especially for these higher price ticket items that are out there. The people, in charge of, keeping the public trust and doing the right thing, that's just what you do in these positions.
So is there a way to verify if somebody raises a question that we aren't getting the best possible price on a piece of equipment? Do Sourcewell or MyDeal provide that kind of information, or is it documented anyway? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Well, they're not going to provide like an MSRP on a truck and what they're offering it to you for.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you from years of using MyDeal, in my previous job, we used MyDeal exclusively for purchasing any vehicles. We didn't even bother talking to the local companies any longer because it's just very difficult for them to match the prices. So it's amazing what Mazers will do, here locally. But when you're buying a half-ton pickup truck brand new for $21,000, if any one of us in this room walked in the showroom, it'd be at least 30. 30 best case scenario, probably 35,000. You know those prices are good. It's kind of a gut feel that we have as professionals working in the business.
Just a comment. The MyDeal specifically has been, as Tim's mentioned, around, has been for a long term, and we have used that in lieu of bidding in the past for a lot of our vehicle purchases. Sourcewell is a little bit newer, but it basically meets the same criteria with regards to it. So it meets our bidding requirements or anything that the state requires. We just want to make sure, as Tim mentioned before, this is a little bit of a change from what we've done. We don't think there's going to be any financial disadvantage to us. And actually, it'll gain some more efficiencies, especially with regards to Tim's time going forward, by not having to put together all this duplicative paperwork. So I think we could be able to meet that citizen's comment or question with regard to it. I think this is a more efficient and cost-effective way of doing it.
Do we have to do this every year?
No.
Okay.
No. We're bringing it to you, and as long as you're comfortable with it, we would continue to go forward with it. If for some reason, some issue comes up along the way, there isn't any reason we can't change to some other practice going forward.
Is there like a
policy somewhere that states this might, or is it just that needs to be changed to city policy?
No, I mean, by giving Tim the permission, you're basically setting the city policy. You're saying, okay, this is okay to do.
Thanks. Rob?
Well, I'm good with the proposal, but I question how does my deal get paid? Is there a certain percentage tax package product or?
Yeah, so this is one thing where this is definitely one thing where the government's doing it right. So the state is doing this on behalf of their own purchasing requirements, but they're doing it on behalf of, you know, to benefit all of the municipalities within the state that want to take advantage of it. So there's, you know, the state doesn't benefit except leveraging, you know, more F-150 trucks that get purchased, so even the stuff that they buy ends up being a little bit cheaper because of the quantities that are being purchased. Road salt is a great example, you know. There's pretty much only one source for road salt in the state, and that's the state of Michigan contract, because it's so enormous with all the municipalities participating in it. There's nobody that could match those kind of prices in Michigan. And that's part of my deal.
I think as Tim mentioned in his memo, I think for my deal, there's a couple hundred dollar fee that we pay every year to participate and get the contracts available. But especially with the way my deal started, this was for getting through the state of Michigan, and they're purchasing the same things that we purchase, whether it's computers or police cars or salt, things of that nature. They're going through the process of bidding it anyway. So these are extended bids that they're basically making those prices available to municipalities as well for a small administrative fee. And it's only a couple hundred bucks a year. So, and a lot of these things are also, like for police vehicles or state police vehicles, they're out doing testing of the actual vehicles and helping really come up with some good specs. And the manufacturers modify things to that regard. So, Tim's right, this is one of those competitive advantages where by working together as groups, we're able to get the best price for the public.
Thank you.
Dean?
Yes, I mean, you know, I like your handwritten chart there, but I will have to admit that I thought your craft did for us a few months ago, which is a lot cooler. I do have a question, though. You know, we talked about the process, and already this evening we've had three cases where we're doing something a little bit different than a traditional bid process. I'm wondering if we need to kind of revisit our overall policy regarding how we get the best price for stuff, for projects and for equipment for the city. Instead of coming for an exemption, if you will, every time this situation comes up, is there a more contemporary approach that municipalities that could or other communities are using overall to using bid process when appropriate or other ways of being sure that they're getting the best value for their residents?
Check it out.
I think interesting to explore that to see if we might be able to do that. Other than that, I think that's great.
Okay. I'm in full support. Promotion.
So I will move to approve purchase of vehicles, equipment, and materials through the state of Michigan MyDeal program and the SourceWall program, as recommended by the Director of Public Works, and to authorize the city staff to purchase vehicles, equipment, and materials through both the state of Michigan MyDeal and the SourceWall program. So said that twice.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Tom, if I could, please.
Yes.
Just again, I think Tim made it clear, but I want to emphasize that in giving us this blank permission, this is on the process that we're going to be using. You're still going to be seeing us come back to you with regard to the specific purchases. So you'll always have that check, and we can, you know, specifically deal if there's a better way of doing it or things of that nature. Just to make sure that, you know that the next truck or whatever the item is, even if we're using this process, is still going to come back to you.
Do they do emergency vehicles like the ambulance or like the vehicle the fire department just purchased? That type of thing?
Yeah, the unit that Dennis showed, that's a highly specialized vehicle. I would doubt, like, it's potential that there's a cab chassis thing, but the build for that truck is highly customized for fire departments, and I doubt that they've got that unit.
Why don't you check with them on that?
And Tim is correct. When we order an ambulance, we could order the cab chassis, not necessarily the utility box. And that all is specially outfitted.
New information. Ready for roll call.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunsch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Moving on to item H, I do not anticipate any action item after we come back out of the closed session. So I think we'll go on to item 10, which is approve the order. We'll go to 10 and 11, and then we'll come back to item 9. Under good of the order, you?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good.
Sally?
I'm good.
Well, I got something. Jim, you have a new assignment? We just spent $25,000 for the police department, and we spent $120,000 for the fire department, and I think that's an example of the public probably doesn't know that. So, there we go. That's all I got. Under announcements, the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for May 25th, 2021, at noon. I do have one announcement that the next meeting after that one, Holly will be out of town. So,
it's May record. Before you close, I have one thing to add.
Absolutely.
So, Tom, are you saying you're not going to be up the 25th or the one after that?
After that.
That's when I'm going to be traveling as well to California.
Okay. So we may consider, if two of us are gone on that first Tuesday of June, to reschedule. At this point, Kevin?
Thank you. About a week and a half ago, the police department had their, what is hopefully going to be the first annual softball game against the girls varsity team, and it was a fundraiser. They raised approximately $8,000 for the team that day for that game. We had a great time, and the police department did win.
I was at that game, and I think you won only because
it had to be the dress.
The dress, you look good in the dress, but I think there was more talent on the other team, so I'm not sure how you won.
I don't know.
They were allowed to.
I don't think those girls let us win anything. It was a good time. We're hoping to do it again next year.
It was well done, yes. Very, very good job. Thank you.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunsch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
You want to take a 5-minute break before
we go to the
closed session?
Are you married to Jennifer?
Oh, you're sitting here?
Yeah.
Well, you have a common Elmira name.
Okay, yeah.
My daughter-in-law's mother is Flo.
Yeah.
And we flow and RJ and
know what I mean?
Yes, okay, yes, think by the break. And we're back here tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you, have a good night.
Anyway, John, because you're related to.
Oh, that's it, yeah. I was texting.
Have you found that in town yet?
Jamie, do you know this girl? And I came back with, she must be married to John.
Yep, John Junior, but yeah.
All right, you're in the family.
Yep.
You know, answer completely.
Yes, sir.